Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. My name is David Reed, and with me as always is Mary Larwood.
I did sound very happy about that.
Do you want to do it again?
No, yes, I do.
Hello, welcome to Film Fandango. My name is David Reed, but with me, as always, is Mary Larwood.
Why did...
Split the difference?
Yes.
Hi, welcome to Film Fandango. My name is David Reed, but with me, as always, it's Mary Larwood.
I didn't like any of those three.
Okay. Well, you do it then.
Hello, my name is David Reed, and with me... That's really hard.
It's harder than it sounds, isn't it?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. We're going to be talking about some films for a bit. We've seen some more, I hope, goodies. We had a good week last week. So, I mean, I can't speak for Marek on this one. I can't remember what you've seen.
What would you do? What would you do if you were speaking for me?
Apologise first to
what?
People.
Why?
I don't know, just for my my general abuse.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. I went to the cinema.
Good.
I saw a film.
Which cinema? Crouch End, was it?
Yes.
Good.
No, I went somewhere. I can't remember where I saw this film. Might have been. I can't remember where. I went to see Kubo and the Two Strings. I made it sound like a band, haven't I?
It does sound like one. It's an animation, isn't it? Stop motion. I've seen the poster. It's
yes.
Like of a kid in sort of magical armour of some kind.
Yeah, so it's a sort of like a Japanese myth thing.
Yeah, I saw a GIF on YouTube of stop motion of the animator doing the claymation stuff of making like a baboon or something do a forward flip with a sword.
Yeah.
But you see it, the baboon moving in real time, but you just see this guy sort of doing it. Like, it's really cool.
I've got to say, if you do go and see this film, the end credits are spectacular, where it sort of does a pictorial versions of the stop motion, and it goes into the credits, go into the actual people, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Doing the stop motion of one of the monsters. A beautiful end credits. First and foremost, the stop motion animation is incredible. The detail...
What's the story about?
Okay, alright. It's about... There's a boy. He lives with his mum on the edge of a village in a rock. His mum is half in a trance and he wakes up at night to tell stories about his father... And basically, his father has apparently died. His father was killed by his grandfather,
right?
Who also stole Kubo's eye.
The little boy,
yeah,
stole his eye
when he was a baby.
Well, is it like stealing a nose?
Yeah, a bit like no, actually taking it out.
He took his eye.
Yeah.
Oh.
So the boy lives with his mother, and she's in a trance most of the day. And he earns stories by going to the village and retelling her stories with these origami sort of pieces of paper that come to life and animate his stories in front of the villagers.
Okay.
And he has to be back by nightfall because apparently his grandfather, who is the Moon King, is searching everywhere at night for him and will come and find him.
I do not like this grandfather figure.
He doesn't say he's not very nice, that's for sure.
Yeah.
It's sort of half... It's sort of quite mythological, half fantasy.
I have to say, already I love it.
I love the first half an hour of it.
Okay.
It looks brilliant. It feels totally original. The way it's pitched is not just... It's not pitched... It's a kid's film, but it's not very kid-like.
It's not very Disney-y.
No, no.
Right.
It's a very classy kid's film, which feels on a different level. It feels like quite mythological and quite sort of old school.
Yeah.
But the animation is absolutely stunning.
Where does the samurai baboon come into it?
Okay, so something happens, and then the boy is left with a samurai baboon,
okay,
and a beetle, and trying
which
to...
Which one, Ringo, or...?
No, a real sort of man beetle, trying to locate the magical bits of armour, yeah. Most like George, no, actually it's probably most like Ringo.
Right, okay.
Trying to locate magical bits of armour so he can defeat
the Moon King.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just a bit like an Odyssey, really.
Right.
I think this is where it falls down slightly.
Okay.
Oddly, the Beetle, who is voiced by... Matthew McConaughey... really reminded me of Buzz Lightyear in the way he's voiced.
Okay.
And really took me out of the film.
I mean, they're very similar actors, Matthew McConaughey and Tim Allen, aren't they?
But the voice, if you hear the voice,
yeah,
it just sounds to me like, oh, that's a Beetle Buzz Lightyear. Even the way he acts, it's just the same as Buzz Lightyear, isn't it? If it was a little bit like Toy Story.
Right.
I thought that the plot... The first 30 minutes is beautiful and great, but the Odyssey bit just sort of seems to go into a traditional, we need to defeat these monsters,
yeah,
find this treasure, have the end battle, everything resolved and happy.
But you don't like that story, do you?
I think there is a lot more room for invention. I always quote Flight of Dragons, but I think they did that really, really well. Perfectly there.
Flight of Dragons breaks out of its own world a bit, which is cool in a kid's film. In fact, it's what people loved about the Lego movie as well, isn't it? Where it's not just... It still is your absolutely typical quest, ultimately, but they surprise you sort of along the way.
Yeah, but it's not just about quests. It's about... There's a very... And people have quite saying it's a very sort of melancholic side to it. It's more dark and there's more about life and death and about... souls and stuff like that. It's all about that, I think,
right.
in the sort of high level.
You're reminding me of a film called The Book of Life, which was a kids' film based on Mexican mythology and folklore that I enjoyed. I think I reviewed it on the show, and again, it was just like, oh, there's something wonderful in this, and then it just sticks to the traditional little too much.
Yes,
to be truly its own thing.
That's what I mean. As usual, you put it better than I could have done. but I agree with you. My expectations were raised so high by the first half an hour that I thought there would be more invention.
Right.
In the actual story of the main.
I mean, the way you told it, I really want to see it now.
Yeah. Well, the first half hour, you think this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
And it never really. Lifts off. I don't know if I like the beetle or the monkey enough. I don't think.
Who's the monkey? Who's voicing the monkey?
Not the monkey. So
the baboon.
The monkey's voiced by Charlize Theron.
Okay.
I don't think. I always compare.
Does she get her bum out?
Not really. It's haired over the bum. I mean.
What? Oh, I guess because she's a female baboon.
Yes.
That makes sense.
Yeah. So the superstars...
You seem weirdly reticent to talk about bumholes, and I'm confused, because that's normally what you're into.
Well, I don't think... It's not really a bumhole film.
Okay, fine. Well, I didn't see it. I don't know.
Well, maybe
baboons are quite a bumhole animal.
Maybe I've grown up.
Maybe you've grown up. Yeah, that's quite possible.
Yeah, I've grown up.
Since talking about the a-hole of the cat in The Life of Pets.
Yeah, that's the best bit about it, the cat's pink bumhole.
Yeah.
There was a trailer. There was a weird Sky advert for that, first of all.
I spent
a lot of the time just trying to see, almost, you know when you play a game and you try and twist to go around corners when you're playing a car
with your shoulders.
I was doing that to try and see...
See around the cat.
See if I could see its bum hole.
It's funny that, isn't it? You've reminded me of an advert for Sprite where there was a swimming dog and they black barred out the dog's dick. And if anything, it just makes you think more about the dog's dick than if they just left the dog be a dog.
Well, I've... I mean, super fans will know that I've been making YouTube vlogs in an attempt to resurrect my career.
They're very good. You should all go and watch them. They're on Marek's YouTube channel.
But I have been to quite a few museums, and whenever I see a horse, I check if it's got a dick. For example, at the Museum of London...
You mean like a plastic horse?
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean real horses.
I mean, what are real horses doing in museums?
No, it was plastic horses.
Yeah.
Museum of London, there was no dicks.
Right.
I can't remember. Then the London Transport Museum was... No, Museum of London had dicks. London Transport Museum had no dicks.
Right.
I went to the Tower of London.
Yeah.
And they did this weird thing where it was half... Almost like a half dick.
Only... What sort of... a dick inside a vagina, so a hermaphrodite.
No, no, just a weird sort of... Like a massive polo... Around, I should have taken a photo of it, but it didn't really. I was trying to take a photo of the horses.
Maybe that is a mannequin for underwear modelling. So when they put the underwear over, it looks like it's got something.
No, it was a really weird thing they'd use to half an effort of making the dicks. I couldn't get a photo of it.
Cause maybe someone has filed off the big old dick that
it looked
on
like
that
it'd been sort of taken off.
Yeah.
They realised, oh, we need a bit of plastic for the nose. We have to just take the end off that. Horses did.
I mean, it's an odd job to have, but I suppose someone's got to.
I couldn't really document it properly because there were lots of children around, and I am sort of was by myself.
They do not like it when you talk about dicks with a video camera when you're around loads of kids.
I walked up 200 steps and I was quite sweaty
and out of breath.
And then I was trying to bend down and talk about a dick, and there were loads of kids around. I thought, I cannot get this dick stuff here.
No, you can't. I mean, well done for not doing that.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
It was annoying, because I thought it's a lot of people were probably into this bit of it.
Yeah, probably. I mean, that's what people want to hear.
But what?
But anyway, there's no bum holes in this film.
There's no bum holes.
Sorry, I distracted you.
But the point I was trying to make is, and this has happened before in Zootropolis as well, where Idris Elba does a terrible voiceover for the bison or whatever it is, and that I don't think these... voice Ralph Fiennes good as the evil
Ralph Fiennes is a fantastic voice actor and actor.
But like, if you look at Watership Down, the old Watership Down,
yeah,
every single one of those voices was brilliant.
Yes.
Charlize Theron hasn't got, she's a great actress, but her voice didn't fit.
It is a different skill, isn't it?
Yeah, and they just picked the most famous people, and just felt, and even the kid's voice, I thought, well, I can't remember, some little twat was doing it, who cares. It wasn't the greatest.
If you listen to this little twat, I'm sorry, I've not seen it, so I can't.
They should pick the best voices, not the most famous people, because all that work goes into it, and yet you sort of feel, and so you're just drawn out of it by the slightly crap voice.
Do kids really go,
why?
Ooh, Matthew McConaughey's playing the Beatle? Of course they don't. They want to believe in the Beatle.
It was too much like Buzz Lightyear. I think their voices could have been better. I just think it's really odd to pick the. And they must pay them shitloads to do it. Get a better voice actor in. So that took me out of it. The Odyssey took me out of it. I thought I gave it 7 Mareks, but it's probably better than. I think I was quite cruel on it because I just felt as though it didn't live up to the expectations I had.
Okay. Well, it sounds at least like it had potential,
in
but
terms
maybe
of artistry,
didn't live up to it.
I think it is a
it's beautiful, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
What's, say the name of it again, it's a slightly odd name.
Kubo and the Two Strings.
Kubo and the Two Strings. Alright. Well.
Or maybe it's pronounced Kubo and the Two Strings.
So what are the strings?
He has a sort of banjo thing.
With two strings.
It has four strings, I don't really understand that. Oh, I know, actually the strings are the bracelets he puts around his wrist. That
right, okay. Okay. Well, that's that. I think now it's time for this.
Some people are writing letters. We like reading them out.
Okay, here's a letter, and this is from Weeble NY. and she says, Halloween is on the way. To best enjoy this festive season, I again suggest you watch Houseu, which is House, for fun and hijinks. It's available in the US on iTunes and Amazon Video. I would love to hear you two talk about it, the way you both watch Beastmaster and perhaps even announce it ahead of time so your listeners can join in the fun. Here's the IMDb link to refresh your memories. Love and kisses to Buddy, me, it says at the end. So that, Houseu, yes, we have been meaning to do this. Now, we've got Halloween is coming upon us soon, I guess, as well. So we should find some more interesting Halloween films for people to watch.
That's a good idea. We should do a watch-along on a Halloween thing.
Yeah.
On Twitter or something at some point.
Well, we've got 3 weeks until Halloween, so we'll have a think about it between now and then and try and watch some more.
Probably forget. One.
Yeah, we'll probably forget, but we'll try. We'll try and remember. We'll try and remember. It's a good shout. Thank you, Weeble.
Do you want to read this one again? This is another one.
Another one. This is from the comedian Michael Legg.
Previous guest on the show.
Friend of the show. Michael says, Dear Buddy and others, I've been straining
what?
My...
What?
It's fair enough. I've been straining my brain to recall if you ever discussed the classic 1981 film Raw, starring Tippi Hedren and Melanie Griffith. And I've come to the conclusion that you haven't. Am I wrong? I barely made it through the trailer and have never made it to the end of the film. I've tried several times, but it's just so insane that I have to stop. It stars lions. Loads of them. People acting with lions and pretending they're not utterly terrified. The lions play with the actors for the entire film, but a lion playing with you is a bit too close to a lion mauling you for me. Put it this way, the tagline for Raw is, No animals were harmed in the making of this film. 70 members of cast and crew were. Melanie Griffith got mauled and had to have 50 stitches to her face. She was a child at the time, by the way. The cinematographer got scalped. Noel Marshall got gangrene. Raw really puts the production difficulties of Ishtar into perspective. If you can ever get to the end of it, I'd be very keen to find out what you think of it. If nothing else, just check out the trailer. It's monumentally upsetting. Love, Michael.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. I think I'm going to watch it for next week because it does... it's a while back now, but I remember talking about the... Just how mental and out of control it seems where in the island of Dr. Moreau where just panthers are getting thrown through walls. Raw is the film I've heard is just you have to see for this stuff. Like, it just sounds like chaos and they... Lucky no one got killed, basically. But this film is still out there and it's a bit of a cult classic for this very reason. I'll track it down for next week. I will watch that for next week. Thank you, Michael.
One more?
Yes.
This is from Richard Bald. Hey again. Hi, Marit, David and Buddy. I don't know if you need letters anymore, but here goes anyway. I was wondering if either of you or potential guest had any movies that you've been trying to see but have not been able to find on streaming service or DVD. I've been wanting to see the original Heartbreak Kid with Charles Grodin, Midnight Run, Lonely Guy, Beethoven films, and Sybil Shepherd, Taxi Driver, yeah. Unfortunately, most places only have the Ben Stiller remake, which I'm sure is fine, but I've heard good things about the original. I was wondering if you had similar issues with a particular film. Maybe film fandanglers can help find these elusive films. Keep watching the film. P.S. Chris Webb versus Martin Appleyard are superfans. Can I suggest a Highlander type competition? As a Scot, I think it's only right that I be Ramirez. Oh, he's suggesting from our previous fan question a couple of weeks ago
yes.
that they fight each other with swords.
Well, I cannot... possibly organise that. I'm a bit busy.
I think it's a good idea.
I mean, people hitting each other with swords is never a bad idea, but I, you know.
I mean, we don't have that many listeners.
And Chris Webb does live in New Zealand.
We don't lose, I mean, potentially lose two listeners. But
yeah, I mean, if we kept that up, a sort of battle royale.
No, about 3 weeks.
In the end, there would be only one listener.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there? So
I think... just come around, sit in the chair, listen to us talk, go home, feel disappointed.
I mean, it would be easier to do, wouldn't it?
Any films that you've been trying to find and can't find?
Oh, God, I am positive, yes. For a long time, I was trying to track down Mike Lee's Naked because it simply wasn't available anywhere other than VHS. And I now have it on my hard drive on the Sky Plus box, and I still haven't watched it. So
yeah. Naked's brilliant.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll do one more quick email, and then we'll...
Heard good things.
Chris Beaton, The Crow... Stroke Decline of Movies. Dear guys, just listen to your Beastmaster podcast. I'm interested to hear about the decline that occurred between the first and third films. This got me thinking about the Crow films. Like Dave with Beastmaster, the first Crow film is my all-time favourite film. And it is shot beautifully, and I really feel that the first film has aged well. However, they then fall off a cliff. I'd be really interested to hear your views on the first Crow film and subsequent sequels. Keep watching the films. No. This is one thing he died, didn't he, making The Crow?
Brandon Lee. It was sort of the stuff of legends back in his films from 1994. And Brandon Lee, Bruce Lee's son, I believe, was tragically killed during one of the action sequences. And it's one of those urban legends that went around my school because I'm of the right age for The Crow. Like,
it was a really cool film. It was a really cool film.
Just... post-grunge thing, yeah. So people can get into the gothy thing, you know, take it a bit further. And the story I heard was that a shard of metal got into the barrel of one of their blank firing pistols and just shot him. Yeah, it's quite a sad story. I don't know if that is the true one. But The Crow, I remember really enjoying. I haven't revisited it, and I haven't seen any of the sequels, so I can't comment on that. They've been trying to reboot it for a while, and in fact, a friend of mine was down to direct it for a good old while, and I think that's fallen through.
The Crow had the bloke who played Garth Gisborne in it as a bad guy, didn't he?
That's right.
Who was every bad guy for about 3 years.
Why a spoon, cousin? Why not a knife? Yeah, he's fantastic. I remember... thinking, even back then in 1994, that one of the scenes was fundamentally flawed, which was they find this gangster, this criminal, killed with... and the police are standing over him, and it's all so sort of cool and atmospheric, you know. And he says he was killed by having a syringe put into each one of his vital organs in alphabetical order. You say, how do you know? How do you know what order they were put in?
Surely you get bored to shoot him. Really expensive
also,
work.
How do you know that it was just like, A is for appendix.
Yeah.
B is for bum. C is for colon.
Yeah, and how did the person know it was in there? Yeah.
Yeah, how would you know what order they're in?
Unless you wrote the note, I did this alphabetically.
Or unless the syringes are numbered. 1, 2, 3...
That's ruined it for me.
I'm sorry. No, I haven't re-watched it, but I remember it sort of being perfectly of its time and sort of really fun. And it was one of these that spawned lots and lots of sequels, but obviously with different cast members, and none of them ever really did any good work. I don't know if it would be something that works now. It seems very of its time.
Yeah, it did. It was the perfect time. You perfect time for it.
We're not really into that whole... white face, painted sort of gothic, long black hair. It's very post-grunge, you know? Anyway, it'd be interesting to go back to see if it has actually held up as a good film.
Yeah, might do, if I fancy it.
Yeah.
Well, have you been to the sea or something, alright?
It's a good question.
Have you seen something nice?
Yeah, I can say so. It was actually something that's been recommended to us, and I apologise, it was so far back. We have such a long list of films because we are... so many things are suggested to us.
We're human beings, right? We're humans.
We do have something else to do with our lives, but we do write them down and occasionally dip into it, but I'm afraid who recommended them sometimes goes missing. But this is a film called Raiders! I think it's the greatest fan film ever made.
What's it about?
And this is a film... sorry, the story of the greatest fan film ever made is the full title. And this is about a bunch of kids who, from the ages of about 11 to 18 or so, made a shot-for-shot remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark. And this is a documentary about that, but also them now in their 40s
I made it at the time.
Yeah, yeah, at the time. They made it when it first came out. Going back, this documentary tells that story and simultaneously tells the story of them going back to shoot the one sequence they didn't get, which is the big aeroplane one with the fight with the big shirtless muscle Nazi and the propellers and then the entire plane exploding and all of that. So they raised money on Kickstarter to film the final bit. But it's also the story of this weird little thing and who all of these guys were and how they spent every holiday making this film. And if you and I tried to do a shot-for-shot remake of Raiders, we probably wouldn't put that much effort in.
Like barely anything.
This hat is close. I mean, I'm wearing a hat. What do you want? Like, their one, like, for all its kids, and they age throughout the film, obviously, because
they start old. At the top of the film.
Yeah, they do it in order, pretty much. And, you know, they properly go for it. Like, they find a truck and they do the dragging him behind it and climbing under it and punching people off it. They prototype the rolling rock for the beginning and they go through five different rocks before they get the right one. With the bar scene at Marion's bar, they nearly burn down someone's cottage because they're using just petrol and fire and diving through this. Like, they are entirely unsupervised whilst they're doing all of this. And this movie just sort of gets on a life of its own because somehow a copy gets into the hands of, I think it's Eli Roth, actually. And then it gets into the hands of Harry Knowles, the guy behind the Ain't It Cool website. And it just sort of snowballs out of there and becomes almost a thing of legend. And it's the story of that, but also seeing who they are. And it's got a lot of American movie in it, in terms of just what you're watching. These guys going through making this absolute passion project.
Because it sounds great. Is it great?
It's really, really sweet and fun. And it is. It's not up there for me with the likes of American Movie or King of Kong because the characters in it aren't quite larger than life. You know, they're not... You don't get the same mentalists. But they are. They have interesting stories to tell of their lives, you know, and they believe in this, and it's very heartfelt. And even in the modern day, this film still takes them over. In that the guy is trying to film this final sequence when he now has a family and his own kids, and his boss is on the phone saying, "If you don't come into work Monday morning, you're fired." And it's raining, and they're like, and he's like, I just need two more days and we'll get it. And this is it's a crappy looking film that they mostly shot on Betamax, you know, and it's just, this guy just has one of those brains. Like, from what they say, they saw Raiders once in the cinema and loved it so much they decided they wanted to do their own version of it. And he wrote out the storyboard of the whole film because VHS didn't come out for 4 years or whatever back then, you know. He wrote out, from having seen the film once, every shot for the whole film, and pretty much got it bang on, including the movement of the actors and where they go and what's there and what they're wearing and all of that. And then they just, every single weekend and every single holiday, they go and they film a bit more, or they make the uniforms for it, and every birthday and Christmas they ask for, well, I need a leather jacket to play that character, or I need this, and this is their lives. And you see they never show you the film in sequence, you see a hell of a lot of it in clips of the different bits. And like, it really reminded me and connected me back to my old childhood self who made films and just go, God, now that was the dream, wasn't it? You just wanted to be making films.
You still can, David.
No, of course. But I feel like you're just like, yeah, I've been making everything but film. And films was the thing I wanted to make. You know, it's beautiful. And it's funny you should talk about great credits in the previous film we were talking about, because in this one, over the credits, they show you Raiders of the Lost Ark and their version of the aeroplane scene that they're trying to make throughout the whole thing, back to back. And just how accurate it is. It's just, it's beautiful, you know. And I won't tell you how far they get in, you know, the significance of it, or other people getting to see it, or whether they even achieve it, you know. But whether he gets fired or not. But it's a beautiful story for true film fanatics, because it's about, because of course they're not making a film they've invented themselves. Mm. They're not truly filmmakers in that regard. They're kids just who have such creativity and resourcefulness to replicate something they love that much. And there's the third guy, there's three of them, these childhood friends. So there's the incredibly nerdy one who has that kind of a brain, who acts as the organizer, and he plays Belloc. And then there's the more sort of better with the ladies one, who's actually a bit of a screw up, and he plays Indy. And then there is the really weird one, who is almost the coolest one, because he's so strange, he's just himself. And he is the one who does all the special effects. And he's brilliant. He's a brilliant character. He's just this guy who's just reveling in how they're going to make blood spurt out of this, or how they're going to make a corpse melt, or how they're going to... And they do it. They work out how to do it, you know. It's not a fantastic film, but it definitely, if you're someone like me, it just connects with something. You know, it's a very enjoyable watch.
So drag it down and watch it, then.
Yeah. I mean, did you make films when you were that age?
I wrote scripts, and I wasn't... My dad had a camera at work we could borrow once, but we didn't have the money to have all that stuff. I wanted to.
I was lucky enough that my dad had actually recently... his dream was to record, and he loves cameras. He's obsessed with cameras. Like, you and he could have a conversation about SLR cameras for a long time. And he wanted to do his own sound and video recording company. So he went freelance when I was a kid. And then for reasons that are too private and boring to go into, he had to put all of that in storage and go back to being a teacher. And so all my upbringing, we had professional cameras and sound equipment lying around the house not being used. So that's what I did. Me and my friend Ben would run around fields and gardens making films and stuff, and it's like you just go, oh, that is a...
It's amazing what they've done with the camera day. I mean, yeah. When was I? About 2001. I remember I bought a camcorder to make films, and I was so pleased. And I've been buying cameras ever since and making crap stuff.
Yeah,
I love it. I think it's incredible. I think YouTube is incredible. I think it doesn't have the respect as it deserves, I think, because there's so much crap on there. But I think for filmmakers and for kids to be able to make stuff and put it out there, and the weirdest stuff out there, there's some incredible...
There's nothing stuff like spending those hours and hours just getting a single shot, and then a single shot, and a single shot, and then editing them together into one sequence that flies.
But you can edit stuff
amazing.
On computers. Now, they were talking about GoPros before, I think, with that Hardcore Henry. They've got this drone now, which can do aerial footage you can buy for about £800. It's incredible what's happening.
It is amazing. I used to as well, when I got a bit older at school, we used to have to stay behind school every day for an activity for an hour, 4:30 to 5:30, you know. School finished at 5:30, but the last hour was all an activity you'd picked. And so Thursdays was filmmaking club, and we were entirely unsupervised. We just got the school camera, and every week we carried on the story from when we'd left off last week. And I've still got the whole thing that we spent 7 years of our lives making, and we changed clothes and haircuts mid-scene.
That's a own documentary,
we slowly get older and older until, having graduated, we all went on holiday to Corfu together and shot the final sequence, which is a musical number. And it's all there, from us being 11 years old to 18 years old. And it's so much fun, you know. And I was the director of that. That was where I sort of... I basically want to get back into it. I've just realised now,
just
talking about
start
this.
Stop making films.
I'm going to sack it all off and make films. But no, Raiders, if you are a film fanatic or someone who likes to make their own stuff, then track it down. You will get a lot out of it, I'd say. I give it 8, David.
All right. Well, that's about it.
That's about it for this week. We'll be back next week, and I'll try and watch Raw for next week. I'll try and remember. So, if you'd like to write to us, then please go to filmfandango.com and fill in the form there, and we'll get that. And we do all of this for free. I don't really enjoy doing this bit, but we sort of have to necessitate getting through this. So we do have overheads with cinema and all of that being quite expensive. So if you'd like to donate towards our cost, then again, go to filmfandango.com and click the donate button. Everyone who has, thank you very much. We will be back next week.
Keep
watching
the films.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.